on page 5 where it says, on the right-hand column, it says, Milvad, Milvad Zois. Page 5, Milvad Zois. The tzaddik, Reb Matl Zilber, the author of this maimer, is talking to us about two different levels, two different ways of avoidus hamidus, tikkun hamidus. The way of seichel pashut, the simple approach, using different strategies to upgrade our lives. So we were talking last week about simple seichel when it comes to the midah of kina, of jealousy. Now, I should point out, and I know it was, I failed to mention this last week, that the fact that these are simple eitzes doesn't mean that this is by any means something which is simple. Kina is a very powerful taiva, and it's very difficult to overcome. And even these strategies, to whatever degree they can be applied and they can be effective, it's fantastic. However, it's not the tachlis of our avoiding, and that's what we're going to be learning. So on page 5, Milvad Zois, another simple, again, simple doesn't mean easy. Simple means straightforward. Another straightforward and obvious strategy when it comes to fighting with the midah of kina, Milvad Zois, Yochel is bainin oid. One can simply think, Ma yeli imekane ba'odim pleini amashi yeshlai. It's really such an irrational thing to be mekane, to be jealous of what that person has, as if my jealousy is going to, in any way, bring that closer to my rishus. I'm not going to get any closer to having that by being jealous. Usually, as we know, when a person is envious, when a person is jealous, it has the opposite effect. So, im akonei ba'odem ploini amashi yeshlo, v'chi arviach dvar ma ayideza, am I going to benefit? Am I going to gain? If I'm jealous of what another person has, if I'm jealous of that person's wealth, or of that person's family, whatever it might be, that in no way brings that closer to me. Hari lo yili mikina zu rak agmes nefesh. What I'm going to have from kina is agmes nefesh. I'm going to have a lot of aggravation. V'chol yimei chayai yavru alai b'tzar v'davein leiv. And my entire life is going to be spent b'tzar, with tremendous anguish, v'davein leiv, and a heart that is weighed down by this kina. The pasuk says, Rekev atzamas kina. We spoke about this years ago. Shlomo HaMelech described that midah of kina as causing a person's bones to rot. And it doesn't mean in the grave. It means while you're alive. It takes away all of the simchas achayim. It takes away all of our chiyus. Jealousy is very destructive. So one not only doesn't gain by jealousy, but you ruin the quality of your life. It's a very simple cheshbon. Again, simple doesn't mean easy. But it is an obvious cheshbon. And we all know that being jealous does not bring that object of your jealousy any closer to you. It only causes aggravation, anguish, and worse than that. And it usually brings to sinas chinam, fights, disagreements, unwarranted hatred, dislike of another person. You mekane somebody, that leads to sinna. Why would you hate that person? You're jealous of that person. There's a very, very thin line between jealousy and hatred. Kinna and sinna are two that come together. It's shavasa b'tamas now. Sinas chinam is the problem that we're still struggling with more than anything. So that's what kinna usually leads to. So what did you gain by being jealous? What did we ever gain by being jealous? It's a simple cheshbon. My life would be much better if I'd be happy with what I have and I wouldn't be jealous. I'll be able to live a good life and have a good night's rest. And I'll have wonderful friends. There isn't It's not a chevra that consists of people who are maneuvering and manipulating. Chaverim toivim. Where there's jealousy, there's all kinds of strange things going on in a chevra. Even though everybody smiles, how are you? I'm so glad to see you. But there's all kinds of things going on, undercurrents of kinesina. I'm not going to lose anything if I'm not going to be jealous. Other Abba, if I'm jealous, I stand to lose a great deal. These are just a few examples of how if a person uses seichel poshet, seichel yosher, and thinks clearly, how we can work on dealing with the midah of kina. V'lira she'ein shum mokim l'snaig b'midah z'kina. That kina is not kedai. V'ha'kol ha'ezbeinim n'sazois yaschel la'avayt al'midah z'kina. After one puts together a list of these strategies, then we can work on this midah of kina, the yisnaig b'chol ma'isav al pima shehaven b'sichlai, and we can conduct our lives according to that which we understand in our seichel. O b'chol pam sheyov l'day kina. Therefore, whenever you feel that monster of kina beginning to make itself present in yourself, so when you feel that b'chol pam sheyov l'day kina, you take out your list. And you go over the list, and you chazer over the list, and you snag dafkel haipach, and you mechazik yourself in one of those nakudas or two of those nakudas. So we were learning about some simple, straightforward nakudas that we can focus on in order to fight against kinah. So that you can stop yourself from saying a negative word, or even from having that envious thought. The Yavakir Oysal Maisa Biglal Kinosai, the Yasir Pulois Lahafilo Maslachoso, and this will prevent you from doing anything that could Chalila get in the way of that individual's success. Because with this kinna, there are often, what happens with kinna is that not only does the person feel jealous, but actually does certain things to shter the success, the Hatzloch of the person you're jealous of. Yisnaig Mamish Lahapach. And one can strengthen oneself to do just the opposite. Kedei l'salik mina was midas akina, to distance oneself from the midah of kina. Fine. All of this is the classic approach that we've always learned, and we still must continue to make use of each person in his and her own way to have strategies, al pi seichel, how to contend with this sickness of kina. Aleph, that's Chelek Aleph. But that's not the tachlis of our Avodas Hashem. Halavai, we should be doing that. But that's not the tachlis. And what we're going to learn now is actually an easier mahalach. In certain ways it's more demanding, but when a person adapts this way of life, even though overall it's more demanding, but then if a person attaches himself to this way, then when it comes to kinna, we're going to learn about kinna, how to apply it to kinna, kaas, anger, gaiva, conceit, arrogance, then the practical day-to-day avoida regarding those negative traits becomes much, much easier. Initially, one has to invest much more in this way we're going to learn, but then the lamaisa of it is much easier, and you don't have to have all those papers with all of the different points and strategies. You don't need any of that. Before we begin this mahalach, which is the mahalach of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, there's a moshel that's very clear, that's found in the Sefer Derech HaMelech from the Rebbe from Pizetsna, where the Pizetsna tells us that there was once a prince who was not acting as a prince. Most of our stories start that way. And as a result of that, he could no longer remain in the palace, and the king, his father, told him he had to leave. And in the beginning, he was very broken about that, the prince. And he went and he lived in some town outside the capital. And slowly but surely, he forgot about the king, he forgot about his father, he forgot about the palace. And he became involved with the, lowest element of that town that he was living in. And he altogether forgot what it meant to be a prince. And many of our stories begin that way. So the question is, what's the Eitzah? So there were people who saw what was going on with the prince, and they told the king that the prince was sinking fast. Now the king knew that he wasn't able at that time to bring the prince back to the palace. The prince was not ready for that. There was still more time than he needed to spend in Golis. And yet, at the same time, what's the tachlis? If the prince is forgetting what it means to be a prince and is sinking lower and lower. So the king sent a number of chachamim, of his wise men. He sent disguise, not that they were coming from the king, but there were chachamim that went to try to influence the prince, to speak to him about how he behaves and how is he dressing and who are his friends and so on. Nothing helped. Then there was one of the chachmei hamelach, there was a certain tzaddik, the Pizesna says, who went to the king and he said, I have a different mahalach. I have a different way. And I believe that I can bring the prince back. I can bring him up and ultimately back. But you have to trust me, and there's something that I need. And the king said, I'm desperate, whatever, what do you need? So he said, I need a very expensive telescope. To get a telescope. So the king said, fine. And he sent out somebody, and they bought the finest telescope. And the tzaddik went to that town nearby where the prince was. And he approached the prince. He said, I would like to have a word with you. And the prince says, I'm interested in having philosophical discussions. I don't want to hear from anybody. I'm having a good time. He wasn't interested. And the tzaddik said, okay, I don't have to talk to you. I just want to show you something very interesting. And he sets up, and this already the prince likes, he sets up the telescope, and he has it set exactly on the royal chamber of the prince. And he calls the prince over to take a look. And he says to the prince, I don't want to talk to you. I just want you to see what's waiting for you, to see what you were created for, to see the malchus, to remind you of the malchus of who you really are. And the Piezesna said that the prince remembered that he was a prince, and he married a princess, and they lived, and then he came back, he married a princess, and they lived happily ever after. So the moshul that the Piezesna was saying is that there are different ways of dealing with a prince who has gone off. There are different ways. The old way of dealing with a prince, the old way, when the Pizesna spoke about that, he meant the way of Musa, the old way that was effective for many, many years, for thousands of years. The old way was with a strong word, with a simple strategy, and if it was necessary, a patch, if it was necessary. And that mahalach, that way of fear, of yira, of discipline, for many, many, many years, was effective. For whatever reason, why that changed, even though there's a lot to talk about that nakuda as well, it's not for now. We see the bechlal in the whole world that changed. It changed within Klal Yisrael, by our parents and grandparents, the teachers, as I mentioned on Shabbos, the teachers and parents were not bekeim in psychology by any means. And their method was very straightforward, simple and straightforward. And if you don't have your finger in the Gemara, and if you do that often enough, the Rebbe will break your finger. You know, you just have to behave. And to a large extent, that worked. For whatever reason, at the end of time, as we get closer to Mashiach, the way that Hashem is mashpi in the world is the way of Ahava. In the world in general, we see that for the last, more than the last 60, 70 years, really, close to 100 years, more and more there's been a movement away from using fear and using the simple strategies and tactics that were used for thousands of years, and more to a really to a ridiculous extreme also, there's a hashpah of using the way of Ahava and a way of Chesed. Baruch Atah Hashem, Morgan Avram, Chazal say, B'chol Choismim, Morgan Avram means that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a tremendous Hisairus of Ahava, of love. And the way, at the end of time, to discipline ourselves and to discipline children is with love, with Ahava. Fear, even the old school, whatever's left of the old school, by this time, to a large extent, has come around to realize that you're not going to accomplish anything by hitting, by screaming, by yelling. And we know that now it doesn't work. It did work for a long time. And the strategies that were effective throughout history, in the entire world, not just by Jews, there was a certain strength, there was a certain tekifus in the old days. To a large extent, there were kings and princes, kings, queens, and princes, and princesses that were ruling the world, and they were ruling the world biyad chazaka, and that's how homes were being conducted, and that's how school and education, everything was in that way. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came into the world, a new tkufa began. In the Hashgacha of that time, until now, as we prepare for Mashiach, the Hashgacha is that there's a hanhaga of dveikus and ahava. Dveikus and ahava. The way to get to children now is with ahava. This is obvious in the secular world as well. It's no longer with the hitting and the disciplining. It's with ahava. And the Baal Shem HaKadosh came with that into the world. And there's a new hanhaga, bichlal, with everything now, which is the hanhaga of Avraham Avinu, of Chesed, and of Ahava. Therefore, what the Piazesna was talking about, with the telescope, the muscle of the telescope, and showing the prince that he's a prince, and reminding him of who he really is, that's the Iker Avaida now in Tikkun HaMidos, in educating our children, is to help the child recognize that he has a chelek elokam imal, that he's a yid, and that he has a nefesh elokis, that he has godliness inside of him, that he's a dehaibene person, he's an exalted person, that there's something great about him. This is the mahalach that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was mechazik in the world. That we no longer approach things in that negative way. We're using the simple practical strategies as the end all. Although, of course, we have to always make use of these things as well. But the ikir and the tachlis is higala na ufreis chavivi alai, is to be megala Hashem's ahava, to build a person up, to realize that I'm a ben melech, I'm a bas melech, I'm the son of the king, I'm the daughter of the king, and certain things do not befit and are not becoming for a ben melech and for a bas melech. To the degree that we educate ourselves and our children and grandchildren in this way, they will be able, and we will be able, to work on amidas with a telescope, always focused on that tachlis of Tveikus Bashem. So let's now look inside, having a little bit of a hakdama to what we're going to be doing. Omnam Yikol Mokam, on page 5, the left column. Omnam Yikol Mokam, Achrei Kechlois Akol. Adain Ein Zahaderech Elokis, Shalzikuch Midas Akina. After all that we've spoken about, the different straightforward strategies in fighting against kinah, and there are many, many more, and so it is with each of the midas, many strategies. But sof kol sof, ein zeh haderech elokis, it's not the derech elokis that has been revealed to us at the end of time. Shel zikuch midas akinah, to refine, or really to uproot. Ki adam eloki, ein loy klal mokim bekina. A godly person, a person who remembers that he's a prince, a person who's in such a place, has no shaychus to kina. The Pizetzna in that marshal brought a sentence from Chazal. Listen to the words. Ashrei mi shalamala mipshav. Fortunate is the person who is higher than his aveiros. Who's higher, who is above his aveiros. There is a way to enter into the battlefield with negativity and to fight with negativity, with weapons against that. And there's a way to be higher than it. Ashrei misha gavoa mipshav. Misha gavoa. Fortunate is the one who is taller. That's the Chazal. Ashrei misha gavoa mipshav. Fortunate is the one who is taller than his aveiros. It made a very big impression on me. Years ago, one of the first books that I read from Dr. Tversky, he's got Kanai Nahar a lot, but many years ago, one of the first books, when he was talking about himself growing up in his father's home, his father was a big tzaddik, growing up in Milwaukee in his father's home, he said he never heard his father criticize him or the other children. His father would say, it doesn't pass for a person like you. It's not becoming for a person like you. In other words, you're a person who's bigger than that, who's greater than that. It's not for you. Now, in order to be able to come to this madrega, where kinna and the other negative midas become absurd and small and silly, we have to get to the shurish hadvar. We have to get to the root of this. In other words, we need to, remember from the beginning, we were talking about transforming ourselves, undergoing some kind of a conversion like the Pizetzna spoke about by his 40th birthday. We have to transform and convert our entire way of looking at ourselves. That's really what the tzaddik with the telescope was doing. He wasn't going like the other chacham. The other chacham were coming with papers and with lists and ideas of how to fight against these the taivis of being with that chevra in the village. The tzaddik came with a different mahalach. He said, I have no papers. I'm not going to discuss. I'm not giving you a musa shmuz. I'm not giving you a whole shmuz. Like the kids come right away when someone opens up and starts to talk musa, you see them, even if they're not physically rolling their eyes, they're rolling their eyes. And right away, you know, the second something happens to them, there's going to be the tzniyas patrol, and they're going to start telling all the tzaras that we're having in Klai Yisrael because of, you know, tzniyas, and all the tzaras we're having in Klai Yisrael because of this, and they're going to tell us to do this and to have to do that. And you can see inside and out, even if they're not physically rolling their eyes, but there's something inside that's just had too much of that, and it hasn't worked, and it hasn't changed us. The tzaddik came with a telescope, and the tzaddik came with a way of helping the prince remember that he's a prince. I think a lot of the fairy tales are like that, that the prince remembers he's a prince, or the princess remembers she's a princess, and then they get married and they live happily ever after. There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, I don't know how many times that's happened, but as far as our avoda, that's the tachlis of our avoda, to remember who we are. So we're going to begin to get to the shayrish of using as an example of this way, a telescopic way of dealing with kinnah. So he begins and says, Hashem has created a world in which he has woven into creation something which is called bracha, shefa, bracha, something good. Blessing, bracha. Bebchinas kisham tziva Hashem es habracha. Kisham tziva Hashem es habracha. Sham meaning in Yerushalayim. Kisham tziva Hashem es habracha. Those were actually the last words that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said when he passed away. Kisham tziva Hashem es habracha. Kisham tziva Hashem es habracha. Shekevanoso shefa bli soif. Hashem, as we spoke about last week, Hashem has what to give each and every one of us without any limit. There's no one that tells Hashem what to do. It's barikoisi lachem bracha ad bli dai. Ad bli dai. Hashem says, I have brachas to pour upon you. Barikoisi lachem bracha. The time will come. V'harikoisi lochem bracha ad v'lidai. Without end. I have brachas to pour upon you without end. V'umakar niftach l'shefa shabay mevarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu eskol habriya. And at the very beginning of creation, Hashem revealed v'yavarach elokim es yom ha'shvi'i. And v'yavarach elokim, and Hashem gave a bracha to Adam and Chava. U'memkor ha'bracha yoytze shefa b'li gvul. And from the Makor HaBracha, there comes out a Shefa. If we can connect to the Makor HaBracha, and we can. When one connects to the root of Bracha, to that place, to that door, if we're able to open that door, which is the Makor HaBracha, there's Shefa B'li Gvul. There's blessing B'li Gvul. Without end. V'yesh bo'dai v'hais l'kal echad ad b'li dai. Each and every one of us sitting right here believes that in that Makor HaBracha, Hashem has more than enough Dai V'Haisa Parnasa for everyone. Dai V'Haisa to give each one healthy children. Dai V'Haisa to give Shaduchim for everybody. If there's anybody that doesn't believe in that, that's Kfir. We all believe 1,000,000% that Hashem is not limited, He doesn't have a quota, that Hashem's not, there's no quota that he's bound to, that I can only make in one generation such and such amount of happy, well-to-do people. That's ridiculous. Hashem is, the Makor HaBracha, is ad b'li dai. Shekol echad yiyeh merutzeh b'tachlis hashleimus. Hashem therefore has in his Makor HaBracha that which would make each and every person satisfied, merutzeh. Satisfied and gratified, betachlis hashleimus, 100%. V'tzarach rak liftarach es makor habracha hazayis. One needs only to open the makor habracha, to access, to have the password to the makor habracha. Ulam, al zeh yesh klipa mesuyemes mitzadis etrachra. But like everything that Hashem is baruch, that's how He made the world. The makor habracha. That treasure chest of the Makor Bracha is covered by a klipa. That's also lahavdil in fairy tales, but this is true. There's a klipa that's covering it. Lahavdil $5,000. I'm sure that I'm not the only person here who ever saw The Wizard of Oz. I mean, that was an annual thing growing up. And The whole story, of course, is a mashal, and these things you don't forget. You can forget what you learned yesterday, but Dorothy, that was the little girl. No, yeah, all right. So she wanted to find happiness, like everyone does in this world, and she was living a very simple life. I think in a farm in Kansas, something like that. And she wanted to find happiness. And Kansas was a very limited, plain type of a life. And the only place that happiness could possibly be is somewhere over the rainbow. And there's this wizard. And if you get to the wizard, then you're going to be able to be free of all of the tsaras that are destroying your life. That's why she has these friends. This one needs his chaskis and courage. I don't remember the other ones. There was one that was scared all the time. Whatever, it's not so important. But each one needed a certain chaskis. Of course, each character, the lion and the eye, the tin man, each of those was another part of oneself, of herself, that needed his chaskis. The reason for her unhappiness had nothing to do with being in Kansas or being on Broadway. It had to do with certain inyanim and pnimiyas, and being in a place of being happy with who you are and what Hashem has given you, because that's the Makor HaBracha. There's a klipa that was covering that. And therefore, she thought that she would have to go to somewhere over the rainbow, which is not in this world. And she has to meet with this wizard. And this mystical, magical wizard is going to give her some sort of a fantastic blessing of life over the rainbow. And she'll be cured of the miserable life that she has back home in Kansas. At the end of the story, there's no place like home. There's no place like home, meaning when a person comes to that state of being merutza, of being happy, of being able to get past the klipa that covers over the makor habracha, where Hashem's will gives each and every one of us exactly what we need. Exactly. In the end, you remember the wizard was not a wizard. It was some little old guy. And there was no, what was the yellow brick road? It was nothing. It was all dimyonis, mechaloimus. There's a sitra achra, there's a klipa. That doesn't allow us, that holds us back from getting to the treasure. There's a makor habracha that's ugly day. It's the sitra achra, the other side. It's that which is completely over, cursed. It's the yetzahara. There's something in our lives that just when we're about to get over the rainbow, just when we're about to get to that thing of simcha, there's always that koach of orer. Orer means the opposite of bracha. Bracha means a blessing. Orer means a curse. Again, these curses are not coming from the bad wizard. There's an orer that comes from the sitra achra that is always that klipa that is telling us that things are not good, that things are not the way they're supposed to be. And the koach of orer, that koach of orer, is always standing and fighting against the koach of baruch. That klipa, that shell, that which is preventing us from accessing the makor habracha. But it's not coming from Hashem. That Hashem makes that klipa, that makes it impossible. It's something which is within ourselves. Ki birchas Hashem hi ha'isnagdus ha'gedoyle b'yoysa l'klipa zu. The birchas Hashem, obviously, and the orer, the brocha, the boruch and the orer are at odds with each other. V'yesh korcha l'klipa zu l'slabish b'vnei adam a'yidei midas akina. One of the most formidable weapons of the world of orer, of cursed, one of the most powerful weapons is called kinnah. Again, it's not something that Hashem forces upon us. Kinnah is something within ourselves. Kinnah. Jealousy. So Hashem Yisbarach says, for instance, Hashem Yisbarach could say to you, I'm giving you a wonderful family, I'm giving you health, I'm giving you other things, so on and so forth, and you're not happy. That's not a bracha for you. You're not enjoying the brachas that I'm giving you. There's a klipa called kinna that gets in the way. Umidas akinna he hislabshus shel sitra achra. The sitra achra, the other side, has many, many disguises. One of the best disguises of the sitra achra is kinna, jealousy. Lizgur es makor habracha. And what does kinna do? It locks. It shuts the makor habracha. The kasha nistam ayde ze makor habracha. And when the makor habracha is closed, hine berishoyne nizgar etzel amekane ba'atzmai. The first person who is affected by that is the mekane, the one who is jealous and envious. On a very simple level, the Svarim tell us that when you're jealous of somebody who has something, there's no surer way of you not ever getting that. If you're jealous of what that person has, if you want to make sure that you'll never have it, then jealousy is the best way to guarantee you'll never get it. It shuts down all brachas. Jealousy closes you off from bracha. So first it begins that the makor bracha is nizger etzel amakani ba'atzmai. Now what's very sad is that not only do you harm yourself, but we know the koch of ayin ra is real. And when you're looking at somebody and you want all the time, God forbid, what that person has. So there's a koach, we're not getting into how that works now. But there's a koach of ayin ra, of wanting what that person has. There's a yochel l'espashet v'lizgros makor maitzei abroha gam la'odem zeshekina bay. To such a degree, it's so powerful that you can shut down, you can lock the makor habrocha for that person as well. So then there are two people who don't have that. First, he had it, and you didn't. Now, you don't have it, and you're even able, through the ayin ra, God forbid, to shut it down for that person who had it. Viligrem ayin hara love. Again, we're not going to go into that, how that works. It's a very strong thing. Viligrem ayin hara love. The gam bechlalus habriya haris agarim skir lamakar brach. And bechlal, in creation, Hashem made the world in such a way that when there's jealousy and tsaris ayin, it closes, it shuts things down. We feel that in ourselves. We feel that within ourselves, that we shut down. Jealousy closes us down and makes us small. But that's what happens in the Bria, in creation. Hashem made creation in such a way where things shrivel up, shut down, turn off, close down as a result of kinah. Uvechein, mishi yesh lo hagoshe b'dvar nalim, a person who has a telescope, a person who's connected to Dvarim Na'alim, who thinks not in a way that is shallow and silly, but in a way of pnimius, in a deeper way, in a way of elokus. Hari hu yochel liyipata me'akina, a person who thinks in this way, this is just the beginning, can free himself altogether from kina. Ulis alois l'malah himana, he's able to be gavoa, to be taller than, to rise up to a place higher, that's higher than kinna. The place that's higher than kinna, we've now identified, is called Mekor HaBracha. In that place that's above kinna, Barikais Lechem Bracha, Ad B'li Dai, Bracha. Bracha. Kinna is down, that's the wall, that's the klipa, that's the lock. A person can go and jump over into the place of Arikai Selechem Bracha Ad Lidai, to go higher than. There's a story that I've told many times, and it was confirmed when I told it 3 years ago in Shul by one of the Chevra in Shul, who was actually there when it happened. It's one of my favorite stories. This was not so long ago. I guess it was based upon the age of that person in Shul. This must have been in the late 50s or early 60s. That it was Tashlich, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chusa Gilani was marching down Eastman Parkway on the way to the Botanical Gardens, to the park. He was going for Tashlich. And he had the whole Chassidus, everybody's going after him to Eastman Parkway to go to, I guess, Prescott Park. That's where they would go for Tashlich. So they're marching down, and they came to Prescott Park, and the big gates there, and it was locked. It was closed. Whatever came out with the holiday or something, whatever it was, I don't know, it was locked. And right away all the chassidim were very upset, and what are we going to do? There's nothing to talk about, and where are we going to go? And everybody's looking at each other. There was only one person who didn't look back and didn't look around at anybody, and that was Lubavitcher Rebbe. The fellow that was there said, he picked up his kapata, and he jumped onto the fence, and he jumped over the fence. Lubavitcher Rebbe jumped. That, he wasn't a young person in the early 60s either. He jumped over the fence. And then he turned around and he went to all the chassidim. No. And then the oilim started to help the older ones over and jumping. And as it's been taught by all the tzaddikim, that the ikkar is to jump over that which is in your way, which is exactly what we're learning. How to go higher than the obstacle. The beginning of going higher than the obstacle is understanding the shirish of what's in the way. It's an illusion. It's the sitra'ach, it's the klipa. Kinna is there to create the delusion that bracha is not yours. The makor bracha requires us to jump over the fence. That fence. Chenishi yesh lahagosh v'dvar na'alim ari hu yochel liyipati me'akinu lis alois l'malah himena. That's what the Bible is doing. Les alas lemala himana, to go higher than that which is blocking. Ayidei she'omed al seid habracha, page 6. Umargish oisa. How do you begin to go higher? How do you begin to jump over the fence of kinna? Kinna is a fence. It's a lock. How do you begin to go over that? By thinking about, by being mizbainein, not in something negative, not in a strategy. Believing in the truth that Hashem is the Makor HaBracha, Ad B'li Dai V'Arikosh Lechem Bracha, Ad B'li Dai Mamish, U'Margish Oysa, and to begin to feel this within oneself, when a person is connected to Elokus, when a person is an Ashamadik person, Guf, the physical world is all about locks and boundaries. What the Rebbe was saying is that a Yid has to be higher than that. And the Neshama is something which is higher than that. In that place of the Neshama, there's something which is called Bracha. You don't see that. It's not something that you could see, a physical thing. It's something we believe in. It's something that our Neshama knows is true, that there's Bracha. And that Hashem has for each and every one of us. Bracha ad b'lidai. And that your Bracha is not what Yenim has, what the other one has. That's his Inyan. That's his bracha. Umargish oisa, to begin to feel this. The yedeh shemimkor habracha nishba shefa loy l'kol echad l'kol anitzrach l'hem, and to believe that from that which is called the mkor habracha comes for each person what that person needs in life. What that person needs in life. We're not talking here about where does tefillah fit into all of this. So why daven for anything else? That's always a question that looms over everything. And we'll get to it in Yitzchum if we have time. It's really a whole separate series of talks on what tefillah is. There are different madrigas of tefillah. But the ikir matzav ha-nefesh of a person is this. The yedeshim kor ha-brocha nishba shefa loy l'kol echa l'chol ha-nitzvach la'at. V'oz hu chai ba'olam acher. That's where you're living in a different life. Then you get out of the village and you're back in the royal chamber. In the world chamber is something else. It's a different life. It's a different life. Then you're living ba'olam acher. You're living already, it's a different world. You're living in the place that's called the Makor HaBracha. You're living in the palace with your father, the king, who loves you and smiling at you and giving you exactly what you need. Even though you don't understand how. But you trust 1,000%. It is giving you what you need. That's a different life. But also chai b'olam acher. Olam shel bracha. Olam shel bracha. Look, our children and grandchildren must hear and they must learn day in and day out how Yiddishkeit is an olam shel bracha. If all they're going to hear are 10,000 shmuzen about how the world stinks, and when they look at the world they say, no, it looks pretty good to me. And this Rebbe gets up and says, it's terrible, it's evil, the world is terrible. And they start to sound to the kids like a bunch of chicken littles. The sky is falling. We're all going to go to Gehenna, we're all doomed. It worked maybe sometime a long time ago. It doesn't work anymore. Our children must be introduced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an Olam Shel Bracha. It's being in the palace. And when you are in that place, Azu Chai B'Olam Acher. And the children see, Yiddishkeit is so geschmack. But if a teacher doesn't know himself appreciate and feel how geschmack Yiddishkeit is, and all he tells the children is that the world is horrible, the world is a horrible place. But he doesn't explain to the children, so what is it? What's the alternative? So he says, well, when you'll get older, you'll believe that. You'll see that. When you get older. And then when he gets older, 20 years later, he says, I don't know. I'm 20 years old. I still don't know what you're talking about. When you'll be another 20 years, then you'll feel it. So what happens is that the child is stuck in this world. And we're telling him that this world is horrible. He doesn't know of any other world. He doesn't know of another world. This way is a way of introducing ourselves and our children to an olam acher, an andere welt. Nothing mystical, nothing Kabbalistic. An olam acher. This is a simple mahalach. An olam acher. Olam shel bracha. A world of bracha. A world of bracha. Olam shel bracha, ayin sheyesh by bracha ad b'lidai. A world of bracha ad b'lidai. That's what Yiddishkeit is. That's what it means to be with a king. A person can have, God forbid, the worst physical conditions and live in a broken down little shed somewhere. But if he's in this place, if he's living in this world, it's bracha ad b'lidai. Ad b'lidai. Dai v'hoysel kol echad, each person needs. V'u hergish nishmasi, that this is a hergish nishmasi. It's an neshamadik hergish. A feeling that in order to have, one has to be able to have a connection to one's neshama. La hergish is zeh hasoid shabrocha. To feel this secret, this side of bracha, what it means to be a Jew, of having kaisel lechem bracha. V'hamargish es ha'inyin shel bracha, shakadosh baruch hu noisim bli dai l'chalecha, and any person who is in this place, higher than that gate, than that lock, this person feels, shakadosh baruch hu noisim bli dai l'chalecha, shuv lo shayach ber klal ha'inyin shel kinah mechaveir. It's not shaykh that there should be kinna. It's not shaykh. You don't knock heads with that locked door. You fly over it. And that klipa then begins to disappear from your life. If a person thinks about this and begins to feel this, this doesn't come. But this isn't easy. It's not 5 minutes. It means a hisbainus day in, day out, to think about this, to spend a few minutes a day, if possible more than a few minutes, to be misbaining in this truth. Yerba Pail Mamish ain't welcome to kinna klal. There's no inin of kinna at all in this. In this world, there's no kinna. In the world that they were learning about, there's no kinna. Kimisha nishba lov min hashefa nikra bracha, because anybody who feels that he's hooked up with Hashem's bracha, and he's connected to the Mekor HaBracha, and then Hashem is mashpia to him every second, life, and the life that he needs, not what the other one has, your life. And Hashem is mashpia that to you. Eshtel ein es hachayk ve'inyin shel kinna. There's b'chlal no inyin of kinna. Ve'in kinna po'el es b'chlal. Kinna doesn't have any impact upon you. Ki sham tziva Hashem es HaBracha. Sham tziva, sham means there, wherever you are. Tziva Hashem es HaBracha. Shuhepach mimkor hakinna. Which is the opposite of kinnah, of jealousy. Shebrocha haynu sheyesh lo kol echad ad lidai. Brocha means, I have whatever I need. Ad lidai. V'kinnah yesh rakish ein dayat zarech l'kulam. Kinnah is when there's not enough to give out. Like we were talking about last week. I only have a certain amount. I'm a human being. I only have what to give out. I don't have to give everybody. Hashem is not human. Hashem is not limited. There's no quota. V'ayidezeh noilet tzaris ayin. When a person feels that there's only a certain amount that's being distributed, then you have tzaras ayin, like the marshal I gave last week. If you're standing in line, there are only 50 seats in the room, and you're number 51, then the guy ahead of you, you don't like that guy, because he's going to get the last seat. And that means you're closed out. Shim yesh l'chaveir lo yishar dai bavuro. In the world, in this physical world, in the world that's not connected to the Makar Bracha, if that guy gets it, it's on my cheshbon. There's only a certain amount of money in the world. He has my money. He has my bracha. Listen to this marshal now. A very simple marshal. Mederach marshal nitel hamchish kishe yira adam es chaver yoytzim veis ma'af alechem. If you see a friend coming out from a bakery, v'kik alechem b'yadai, and you see your friend's coming out from the bakery and he's holding onto a loaf of bread, v'chi yikane boi leimer shahalo lokach es alechem shali. Now you're looking at a bakery, and we're talking about It's not, like he says in a second, it's not during the war. The bakery is fully stocked. You see in the window, and it's got loaves and loaves of bread and cakes and rolls and danishes. Everything is fine. Now you see a guy walking out from the bakery with a loaf of bread. So you stop and you say, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He got my loaf of bread. Anybody that would think this thing is a meshugana. You're looking at the bakery. The bakery is the Makor HaBracha. It has just, of course, it's not Ad B'lidai because it's only a certain amount. But it has, in the Mashal, Ad B'lidai. For everybody on the block, for everybody in town, there's bread. Is somebody going to say, I can't believe this guy took my loaf of bread? He knows that there's plenty of bread for everybody in the bakery. I will b'shnois amelchama k'sheish machshav alechem. But if you take the same story, and it's God forbid a time of war, and there's a very big shortage of bread, and in the bakery you're thinking there are only two or three loaves, and you see a guy walking out with the last loaf, Then we understand. Then if you see a guy walking out with a loaf of bread, Yachshav Shebezeh, Shahalo Lekech Lo Yeh Maspik B'Shvilo, because he took the loaf of bread. That's the last loaf of bread. And now I'm not going to have. Aval Harei Ein Anu Chayim B'Shnois Mulchama. But thank God it's not a war. Other everybody's too worried about having too much bread. It's not a time of war. There's no quota. There's no thing that everybody's allowed one slice. Years ago, I had many students from Russia. They told me that they remember that their parents would send them online to get a slice of an orange. They would have to wait 2-3 hours to get a slice of an orange to take home, and they cut it into 8 pieces, a piece of orange or a piece of apple. That's how the communists were dealing with them. I have a quota. You go to the bakery, there's daiva haisa. There's no quota how much a person, at a time of war, you have things like that. But there's no quota how much bread. You go and gizunte, take what you like. There's plenty for everybody. Therefore, when you see that this person has hatzlocha, so let's forget about the bakery. Let's use it for everything else in life. If you believe that Hashem is the big baker, and he's got a bakery, but not just for bread, everything. So no one's walking out with your kid. I wish I had that kid with the straight A's that's always, you know, perfect. Or no one's walking out with your house. Oh, you've only had that house. No one's walking out with your husband or your wife. No one's walking out with your hatzlacha. It's Hashem's bach. Big bakery. Daiva Haisa. Hashem's bach has for everybody. Not only that, with your name on it, custom designed. With your name, my name. Everything, no one could take it. It has a name on it. It's even better than the marshal of the bakery. It has a name on it. Social security number. Everything is there. No one can, if someone goes over the touch, you get zapped. You can't take it. You can't touch it. That he has that slacha, that he got his loaf of bread, therefore it means I can't get my loaf of bread. It's absurd. But it's only absurd if you're living in the world of Makar HaBracha. If you don't have that mindset of Makar HaBracha, then you have to, with all the other strategies of how to deal with it and so on. But in the Makar HaBracha, the whole thing of kinah is ridiculous. The whole thing of kinah is absurd. Now again, this is not simple. The absurdity does not mean this is a simple level to reach. However, it's an olam acher that we can work on becoming part of. Shereyesh yam rachav shel shefa. There's a big, big ocean of shefa. Ad she'ein afilu b'yecheles odom mekabel kol kach habe shefa she'esh b'olam. There's more shefa than any of us could ever possibly get, handle. There's more shefa than any of us can handle. Baruch nisiv gashmius. In ruchnius or in gashmius. Boilam hazeh or boilam haba. In this world and in the world to come. L'kol echad miyuad shefer brocha binyin acher. Each person has his brocha in a different way. Yesh l'famim echad she'enu ashir. Sometimes there's a guy that as far as wealth, material wealth is concerned, he's not wealthy. Urbayis b'shanim hu mekanis chaver al ashiruso. And for many years, he's jealous of the next guy because that guy's wealthy. And then he spends his whole life hurting from this, that the other guy is rich, and how come I'm not? I'm smarter than him, I'm more honest than him, I'm more eloquent, I'm more frum, whatever it is. How come he's rich, I'm not? The truth is, that's his loaf of bread. That Hashem's brach gave him from the Makar bracha. That's his bracha. Omnam yesh brach miyuchedes gam babaracha. Hashem has a different bracha for you. Vein lucharak lachakis oid kamashanim. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for years. Stop waiting for that guy's bracha. That's his bracha. You have the bracha that Hashem has given you. Vein lucharak lachakis oid kamashanim yiladechi yidu. And for you, you'll see your children are growing up. In this example, let's say that you're not wealthy, but you have Baruch Hashem children. You have, and they'll grow. They're growing up. And how much nachis you have with your children sitting around your table? If you're zoichet for that bracha of children, again, that's not necessarily everybody's bracha, but for this person, so it's not wealth; it's the children. And you're going to have children that are yikarim and meirim, that are precious and that are lichtig. Lichtige kinder. What's better than that? That's your bracha. So they don't have that kind of house, and they don't have this tchotchke and this whatever. Okay, you have lichtige kinder. And it could be very often that the person with that wealth doesn't have your wealth. And that person is thinking, if only I could have children like him. And this guy's thinking, if only I had a house like him. And we know that that's what goes on all the time. What you're jealous of him because of his ashirus, because of the money that the person has. If you would only look at your bracha, and you could only be connected to the Makar bracha, and live in that world of the palace, then you'll see that what? But the bracha that you have is har b'yosim menu, is much bigger than what he has. The shulchan chagadu nishalo, and your table is much bigger than his table. V'yesh tcha bracha lein aruch yosim menu, and yet your bracha is infinitely greater than his. V'im ein cha rayes ha-bracha ke'es. And if you don't see that bracha, you're trying hard to see, and you say, well, I don't know, I don't have money, and I don't have kids. So I'm not sure what you're talking about. So sometimes you're not able to see that. Sometimes a lot of it is because your eyes are not open to what you have. But sometimes you don't see it right now. And by the way, sometimes you might not see that even in this world. We're Jews. We believe that this world is not the tachlis, not the end. So you do what you're supposed to do. And you can't compare the bracha that person has with this fancy car, whatever it might be, to the bracha to the Shulchan Aruch that you're making for yourself in Olam Haba. But you have to, obviously have to have a moon in that. Ulekol echad yesh makor shel bracha niftach leimen ha-shamayim. Just one more paragraph. V'hinei. G'shem she'kesh'odem mekanei hariyu magbir eskarach ha-klipas esemis es makor bracha. Any time that a person is jealous, you are aiding and abetting the Sitra Achra in locking and shutting down the whole makor ha-bracha. Jealousy shuts the Makar Bracha. K'marchein, k'shemargish is inyan birchas Hashem. The opposite of that is when a person is feels the inyan of birchas Hashem. Shua heipach hakenah, which is the opposite of jealousy. How you poseach bazeh, that's Makar Bracha. That is what breaks down the gates, or actually goes over the gates that's locked up. That's what opens up the Makar Bracha. The hepech of kinna is bracha. That opens up the makar bracha when a person is not jealous. When a person has an ayin toiva. Hari pasech bezeh makar bracha for yourself and for the other person. Ubi rishayni yiftach makar bracha l'misha pasach ha'isa. First you open that makar bracha for yourself. For who yehenem yemenu b'rishayni, you'll enjoy that. V'yir kol mini atzlochis, and have all kinds of atzlochis. U'mishom yispashet shefer brachas. Gam l'chol ha'olam, as the Svarim tell us. But you yourself are a person who's mashpia bracha for the whole world. Why do the tzaddikim have such a koach of bracha? Why do the tzaddikim have such an unbelievable koach of bracha? Because the tzaddik lives in that world of the makar bracha. Anybody who comes into contact with the tzaddik has an ayin taiva. The trademark of the tzaddik is ayin taiva. He lives in the king's palace. In the king's palace, there's for everybody. And there's no tzaris ayin. There's an ayin taiva. So by the tzaddik, is like it says by Yosef at tzaddik, the second he came to the house of Potiphera, so the Chazal say, take it for Talmud Chacham Bracha. It says that he was an ish matzliach. Whatever Yosef, when he came, as soon as Yosef at tzaddik came into that place, everything took off. Turned to gold, like they say. Everything he touched was gold. Yosef at tzaddik. Why? Because the tzaddik is the makar bracha. Tzaddik yisad olam. Because the tzaddik is attached to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the king. And whoever comes into contact with the tzaddik, whoever goes near the tzaddik, he comes under the influence of that overflowing abundance of love and of bracha that comes out from the tzaddik, who's connected to the Makor HaBracha that's flowing down to the Tzaddik. So therefore, take it for Tamar Chacham Bracha. The Ik of the Tzaddik is an Ayin Taiva, to give, for the whole world to give. And when we come next to the Tzaddik, we become part of the orbit, under the influence of the Tzaddik's Taiv. And therefore, Misham Yispashet Shefer Bracha L'chol Ha'olam. And from there, the Bracha is Mispashet to the entire world. Okay, Misham, next week, we'll sum up a little bit, one more Nekuda here. And then we're going to take a look at the midah of kas, anger, and how to look at that midah and how to deal with that midah also from the perspective of an olam acher with the telescope of the Pi Zeson.